Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Crowley doesn't get out on time, and it's 10:03 again. Unbelievable limits, isn't it?
Yeah.
Come on,
it is
stick with the ball club here.
It is
here.
Unbelievable.
Support your
Come on, Crowley.
Come on, Crowley.
Crowley looked in here and was like, you know, John Wehner said something really good that you guys got to hear.
Are we going to hear
that? We'll hear it soon.
I think we will hear it soon. You have it? How are
I
you
have
today?
It.
Where's Bob?
I'm well. No Bob today. Bob has a prior endeavor.
He's full of crap.
He should be here tomorrow.
So well, that's comforting.
We will see Bob tomorrow, yes. Our spirits will be lifted by the presence of Bob Pompiani.
Well, I miss Bob, first of all.
Me too. I miss Bob every day I don't see him.
I wish I was playing golf with Bob. The Pirates have reached the halfway point limits of what has been an incredibly calamitous and disastrous first half. To put it mildly.
Underwhelming is a good word.
No, underwhelming is a horrible word. It's actually an underwhelming word, ironically enough. Underwhelming? This has been the single most calamitous first half for any Pittsburgh franchise, certainly since I've been in this city, which was November of 89, when I left Buffalo because I blamed my friends for me drinking too much and thought that Pittsburgh would save me. And eventually it did, I might add, limits. But November of 89 until now, tell me a team that has had a more calamitous season than this. You can't.
No, I can't.
And you might not be able to in all of sports history, I might add. The history of professional sports in North America. Tell me. Find me one. They hit 81 games last night. Fittingly, there was yet another negative story attached to that, which was O'Neill Cruz getting benched. But do I need to go through all this? What's happened in the first half? I mean, it started on day one of spring training when their first baseman, it was revealed, only had one functioning arm, that they had traded for a first baseman with a chronic wrist injury. That morphed into people flying over the stadium with banners at the home opener, which morphed into replacing the Clemente logo on the Clemente wall, which morphed into the Bucko brick fiasco, which morphed into somebody nearly dying when they fell over the Clemente wall, which morphed into an outfielder making a lewd gesture to a fan in Anaheim, which morphed into a relief pitcher taking a flying leap at a fan in Detroit, was that? Which I actually don't blame Dennis Santana for. What did I miss? Oh,
you
yes,
missed the usher.
I missed the stadium employee beating a fan with a belt. I missed the manager getting fired at 12-26. I have never, ever, and I'm not engaging in hyperbole here in any way, shape, or form, I've never seen the likes of this for any sports team anywhere. As one Pirate employee told me earlier this season, not that long ago, and I quote, "Every day I'd say, this can't get any worse," and then the next day would come. I mean, limits. Underwhelming. They wish this first half was underwhelming.
Completely disastrously underwhelming.
Yes. How about just forget the underwhelming and go with completely disastrous, surreal, calamitous is a good word, horrific. Surreal and unbelievable, yes, in the truest sense of the word.
Unbelievable is overused significantly. That's one of Lanny Fritteri's pet peeves, don't use unbelievable all the time. This season has been unbelievable with everything that transpired.
Truly. Truly it has, and they're on pace to lose 98 games, and, you know, maybe some of those other stories would be lesser if they were actually winning. In fact, most of them would be. But you know where that brings us. Given the nature of this first half limits, I think it's about time we crack a six-pack and drown our sorrows, don't you?
Yes, I would love to.
What a nice man you are.
Hey,
what's your T-shirt? What do you got in your T-shirt game today,
big
boy?
It's a Skeens Day shirt.
Oh!
How about that? Great shirt from Breaking Tee.
You have the best T-shirt game in town, and certainly at the Fan.
It.
I mean, you really do. It's legendary. Today's going to be a great pitching matchup, too, by the way.
Yes. Skeens, Mizorowski, 2 o'clock. So as soon as we're done with the show, all eyes will be fixated on the game.
Hold on a second here. I'm going to switch it up here. I'm going to get to Cruz in a minute. Let's do our first item on that, is that pitching matchup to begin the second half, because this Mizorowski, is that how you say his name?
Yes.
He's 6'7", and he just rifles the ball past people. And Cincinnati also had a dude come up the other day. What's his name, Limits? Chase Burns,
yeah, Burns,
I believe?
He was the number 2 pick in the draft.
Oh, my God. Did you see some of his stuff?
99, 100 consistently.
And let me say this about what we all thought was the poor, pitiful, little NL Central, Limits. Do you know which division in the majors has the most winning teams in it?
Wrong. The NL Central.
I like that. They're tied with the NL West, but if you took their aggregate numbers, they're right there. You have the Cubs at 13 games over, the Brewers at 8 games over, the Cardinals. I hate the Cardinals every year. How did they? Did I miss their rebuild?
I thought this was supposed to be the rebuild this year for the Cardinals.
The Pirates have 20-year rebuilds. The Cardinals have 20-week rebuilds.
They're 8 over. And they've won 8 out of their last 10 to put them in this spot.
They've won 8 out of 10. The Brewers have won 7 out of 10. The Reds, under Terry Francona, have won 7 out of 10. Every team in the division is at least plus 40 in run differential. Plus 40. And here sit the Pirates at 32-49. Do you know the only two teams in all of baseball with more losses than them, Limits?
The Colorado Rockies, and I'm going to say the Oakland. Oh, wait.
Wrong.
The minor league ballpark A's.
Wrong. It's the A's have the same number. They have the same record as the Pirates. It's the Chicago White Sox. So the White Sox were one of baseball history's worst teams, one of the worst teams ever last year. And the Rockies might be the worst team ever this year. And those are the only two that have more losses than the Pirates. But kudos to the NL Central, at least 4 of the 5 teams, Limits. Next. Everybody's saying what a crappy division it would be. Yeah, they were all wrong. Just like Crowley says I am all the time.
Wrong.
Including this morning. And I'm going to rip him in a moment here. Mm. All right, O'Neill Cruz. What are we doing here? I hope that Don Kelly learned a lesson early in his managerial career. And I think the lesson would be this. These kinds of hustle issues are to be, or any kinds of issues like this, are to be addressed immediately and firmly. Instead, we saw, 4 days ago, O'Neill Cruz booed a ball in center field, and like he was in Little League, just stood and watched the ball roll to the fence. Instead of addressing that immediately and firmly, Don Kelly kept Cruz in the game, and then afterward, borderline defended him by saying, essentially, man, you should have seen how hard he tried later in the game. Well, by not addressing it then, I think that Kelly reaped what he sowed last night. I do. And it was Cruz jogging down the first baseline, but the Pirates still mildly in the game in the 7th inning. And it wound up with a double play to end the inning. And Kevin Young on the broadcast immediately addressed it by saying that is unacceptable. You had McCutchen coming up. And who knows, you might have wiped out a chance for a 2-run homer right there. Then it's 7-5. You're right back in the game. Cruz explained it afterwards by saying he thought that there was 2 outs. Okay, is that any better? If there were, do you just not run? So apparently nobody told Kelly about that because he didn't mention that after the game. He didn't say, yeah, he thought there were 2 outs. All he said was there was not enough energy running up the line. So I took him out of the game in the next inning.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Do we have Kelly from after the game? Go ahead.
Here it is.
Why was O'Neal removed before the 8th inning?
Just the energy and effort going down the line. You know, I think we were pretty clear the other day, and he knows the expectation going forward.
What was the conversation like with him? Was it just something, like you said, it was already known, or did you have to sit him down and kind of talk to him a little bit more?
I mean, we talked, but he knows the expectation, and right there I think we fell a little short.
The Noah Constrictor all over that one, huh, Limits?
It seems like it always is the Noah Constrictor that ends up being the one to go at it with managers, right?
I don't know what we're going to do with Bednar right now, Noah. Probably a little fresh.
Probably a little fresh.
Wait a second. Do you have the rest of that? Was there more to that? Because I was just going to say, if that had been under Shelty's watch last night and Noah came at Shelty with those questions, it could have gotten real ugly. Real ugly.
Yeah, come on, Noah. It's 11 to nothing. It's 11 to nothing. Bednar, Holderman, both threw yesterday. Santana's been our best reliever. Come on, you've watched enough baseball to know that. It's 11 to nothing. Seriously. You don't have to ask. There's a better question than that.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, it's 11 to nothing.
It's 11 to nothing.
The little, okay. Is tremendous stuff. It was 11 to nothing. That was when Rowdy Tellez pitched 3 times in like 8 games and had a better ERA than Bednar at the time.
That's right,
I believe.
Yeah.
So do you agree that Kelly got what he sort of asked for here? What I take from Kelly's remarks last night is, yes, they had a talk after the center field incident where Kelly must have said it's zero tolerance from now on, whereas it should have been zero tolerance from day one for a guy standing there in center field and watching a ball roll to the wall. I'm not sure I wouldn't have taken him out of the game right then. I mean, I haven't seen that too much other than a guy named Ryan took my daughter out of a softball game in front of all the parents because a ball went over her head.
Jeez.
At 12 years
old. Come on,
old.
Ryan.
I did see that. But I don't know if you even do that at the major league level. But you got to bench him an inning later, right?
Yeah, I would have immediately benched him. And you saw on the broadcast, they showed that Cruz and Brian Reynolds were walking out to the outfield together. And Reynolds is like having a conversation with him. Why that was not immediate, I don't know. Like, why were they waiting? Kelly should have made the move, though. Like, it was definitely the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, not going to get fooled again.
Very good.
Should
I like
have been
that.
Benched.
I like that, Limits. That's the perfect saying for this thing.
Well, and that's because, like, the old manager got fooled twice, 3 times, 4
right.
times, 5 times. It did nothing about it.
Right.
He let O'Neal and Cruz
again,
walk all over them.
And again, so I guess better late than never. And Kelly looked very unhappy after it happened in the dugout. But let's not pretend that it's just O'Neal Cruz, okay? As we've said a bunch of times, I think, since the center field incident against Texas, this team, given its paltry payroll and its bumbling GM, who has created one of the most ridiculous lineups in the history of the franchise, really has 2 things it can sell. Not that it would sell or does sell, and yeah, you should have more than this, but it really does have 2 things. Hustle and good fundamental baseball. So let's not pretend that O'Neal Cruz is the only one guilty of breaches in either category. At least he made it to first base. Joey Bart never made it that far in a game the other day, and that's when the fan yelled down, run it out!
Run it out!
You had Majinski last night failing to cover first. You've had guys thrown out on the base paths. I've mentioned Adam Frazier unable to bunt. I guess the third time was a charm, but within the last month or so, he's been asked to bunt 3 different times and has mangled it twice. You know, stuff happens. I get it. It's baseball. But when you only have hustle and fundamental play to sell and you fall so woefully short on both of those, man, somebody's got to set people straight and it's got to be faster than, I'll forgive you this time, but watch out next time.
You know how they have a heart and hustle award that every team has a recipient of?
Yes.
Who would be the, who would win? They're more,
oh,
there's more of a candidate for a lack of heart and hustle on this team. There's more candidates for that award than there is actual heart and hustle.
Man, did you see, I tuned in late, so I had to backtrack on a lot of this. I tuned in when McCutchen was up and had a routine ground out and ran to first base like Usain Bolt.
He is their heart and hustle at 38.
That was in the eighth inning.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, because Greg Brown reacted to it and so did Kevin Young, essentially saying he's trying to set an example. And I'm like, what has happened in this game that I've missed? And then, of course, I backtrack to O'Neill Cruz, and then Cruz doesn't come out for the bottom of the eighth.
Yeah, the bottom
of
the eighth.
Right? So what a story, really. What a story. Should he play today is the next question. Limits. I agree.
He should not play today. And I know that you want to get as much run support for Paul Skeens, and that might be against the full effort for that, because he's obviously your most talented hitter. But you have to set an example.
I mean, he's your most talented hitter. He's also your worst hitter.
Yeah.
Probably for a month now. And that's saying something on this team.
And
but
all
he is just flailing and flailing away.
Like average, I think average is important. It's not the end-all be-all. But he's hitting under 200, like significantly. He's not making that hard contact that everyone likes to talk about. He's not getting
on base any contact.
No, he's just not able to drive the ball like he showed so well in May. He has been a completely different player in June.
Yeah, he's been the... Everything around him has been what has disappointed me most about Kelly. There are things that I like a lot about Don Kelly right now. The way he manages the bullpen, I think, is clearly different than what Shelty did.
Yeah.
He seems to be more married to having a somewhat regular lineup. And there seems to be a different approach that we talked about with Michael McHenry at the plate that has worked some. I'd like to see the offensive numbers since Kelly arrived compared to Shelty, but just, you know, anecdotally, what my eyes tell me that they have a different and maybe better approach. I mean, I don't know that any approach is going to save, a bunch of hitters, most of whom aren't any good. It really doesn't matter at that point what your approach is. But the Cruz situation, the things we just talked about, but also limits. And this, I guess, speaks against a set lineup. What could possibly be the rationale for continuing to bat him leadoff against lefties, or leadoff in general, actually, but especially against lefties? Aren't you just like cutting your team's chance of winning way down? He can't hit lefties. I'm not saying you shouldn't let him try, because he's still a huge part of your future.
Yeah.
And the only way you get to hit lefties is to get in there and learn by trial and error. But you can't bat him leadoff against left-handed pitching.
How much do you take what he has previously done this year and balance it out with what he's currently doing right now? That's the answer for me, because he's clearly the most comfortable in the leadoff spot. Like he said it, his performance over the first month that he was there indicated it.
What about his performance over the second month?
Well, that's the thing.
Or third month, I should say.
He's obviously going to have a huge slump, but that means that they should adjust to what's going on with the current slump.
He doesn't belong in the leadoff spot.
Which means that he should be batting like...
Does he lead the league in strikeouts? Or strikeouts per at-bat, at least?
He was as of last week.
So he shouldn't be your leadoff hitter, I don't think, under any circumstance. But never, ever against a lefty.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Next. Why, thank you, Limits. And you mentioned John Wehner, didn't you? Now, am I to understand that Wehner was on the morning show?
Yes, Wehner was on the morning show earlier today.
Yeah.
And he had some comments about O'Neill Cruz. First, about Donnie Kelly ultimately benching Cruz and why or if that was the right decision.
Donnie does a really good job of protecting his players. You know, we've seen it from the moment he took over, getting thrown out of games. You know, he says he's going to always protect his guys. The incident that happened last week at home, you know, the optics weren't good. The ball that gets by O'Neill Cruz, ball rolls behind him. You can understand the expectation. Cruz thought somebody was backing him up, and there was somebody there, but still, like, the body language, the look, the effort wasn't what it was supposed to be. And Donnie protected him for that. Yeah. Donnie said, well, yeah, look at the energy and the effort after that and how hard he was running and blah, 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 blah. And if you're protecting your guys and yet they're going to continue to do things that don't look good, there got to be consequences. And I think that's the message Donnie sent. I don't know if that'll be the only message. I don't know if that means, you know, he just sits for an inning and a half or if it carries over today. I'm not sure.
And he does lead the majors in strikeouts with 101.
Yeah, that's that. Unless you're getting
in 70
incredible
games.
Production, that's not your leadoff hitter. And I would also say on John's comments, there's a very fine line between protecting and coddling your players. And I think there was a little too much coddling going on with O'Neill for the Texas incident. And again, that bled into this. What were you going to say, Limits?
Well, and this is what Wehner had to say just previously about Cruz and kind of the coddling you mentioned.
I'm going to, in a way, defend O'Neill Cruz, and in a way I'm not. You know, I think since the moment he got to the big leagues, he's kind of had this nonchalant attitude. I don't think he's one that you can say gives 100% every time he's on the field. Having said that, I feel like since Donnie took over, I think he's run as hard as I've seen him since he's been in the big leagues. And it's not always 100%, but I think there's been more effort from O'Neill Cruz. I think he's been working harder on his defense. I think he's been running harder to first base. And, you know, but there are times where, you know, it doesn't look good. Last night, obviously, it didn't look good. And I believe him when he said he thought there was two outs. I watched the replay, and I saw him going down the line. And, you know, as soon as he saw the third baseman throw it to second base, he let up. Now, you're up third in an inning. I don't understand why he would think that would be the third out. But, you know, that's the mental lapses or what have you that we've seen at times from O'Neill Cruz. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, if you watch him, if you keep your eyes on him during a game, you can get frustrated sometimes. You know, he'll walk out to his position in the outfield, he'll walk back to the dugout. You know, there's a nonchalantness, there's a lack of urgency at times. And he's so talented, and I think, you know, whether he's sulking or what have you at this point, it's hard to tell. Well, I guess that's what it kind of looks like. I don't know if that's how he feels, but that's kind of looking like it. He's not swinging the bat well. And when you're not swinging the bat well, you got to win games with your other tools.
Win games with your other tools.
I agree with every syllable he just said. You know, unfortunately, though, as I mentioned, poor fundamental play and lack of hustle doesn't begin and end with him. And for the millionth time, those are really the only things they kind of have to sell. Now, that's team-wide, you know, the team approach. Obviously, Paul Skenes is a selling point for this team, right?
Yeah, but I mean, Cruz also is looked at as one of the, I don't know if he's looked at as a leader, but he's looked at as one of the most maybe influential players on the team. Like, his stature on this team compared to other players is significant. Just because of his abilities, just because of his talent. So I wonder if some players say, oh, well, if O'Neill does this and nothing happens to him, maybe I can get away with it too. I mean, could that factor in a little bit to the lack of hustle, to the lack of effort that's sometimes given on the bases?
Why did I send Crowley a photo of the trail I walked on today, Limits?
I don't know, but you send it to me as well. And
I meant to send that to my wife, saying we should walk on that trail. Doesn't it look nice?
It does look very nice.
I think it's the Gilfin something trail right across from South Hills Village out there in Bethel Park.
When you sent this 10 minutes before the show, I was like, oh no, is Joe not showing up for the show today? Is he taking
off
a stroll today for the first segment?
Into the wilderness. Oh yeah, Crowley reminded me, Nick Gonzalez, part of the calamity of this first half was him breaking a leg or re-breaking it or realizing it was broken as he rounded the bases on a home run trot. You don't see that every day, Limits.
No, and
the Jared Jones injury
as well, that he thought he was going to be able to rest and rehab and be okay. And
the whole fiasco.
Didn't work that way.
The entire catastrophe from beginning to end. Next. Why, thank you, Limits. Aaron Rodgers is, okay, this is where we where I'm going to rip Crowley, if you don't mind, and I'm sure you don't.
May I?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Aaron Rodgers is going to have the guys out to Malibu to work out with him, which is wonderful, a wonderful gesture on his part.
I wish I was invited.
So do I. Have you been to Malibu?
I have. Incredible place. Really sad, everything that happened with the fires there, though, earlier this year. Some of Malibu's was really decimated.
No doubt. I was out in Hollywood a couple of years ago with my daughter, and we took one of those tour buses, a mini bus, up into right near the Hollywood sign and up into, you know, mansions and things like that. Have you done that, Limits?
I have not done the tour, but we did go up to Griffith's.
You're the beat writer.
We went to Griffith's Observatory and were able to see the city and saw the Hollywood sign. So much, what is it, smog? Fog that's out there in L.A.?
Yeah.
Where you could barely see, off into the distance.
That's the truth. Aaron Rodgers, last year, if I'm not mistaken, did he not miss mandatory minicamp to go to a cave?
I thought he went to Egypt.
He was absent due to, a pre-planned trip to Egypt. Yep. You're exactly right. I get my caves and my trips to Egypt.
Very easy to do.
So Crowley is on this crusade to get people to apologize to Aaron Rodgers. Mm. We're sorry, Aaron, for all the bad things we may have said, or in this case, not said about you, or projected about you. Can we hear a little bit of Crowley from this morning?
Two clips from Crowley. Here's the first one on if Rodgers is earning the benefit of the doubt.
Rodgers is starting to earn my benefit of the doubt. A lot of people said, Rodgers, he's going to go on McAfee. He's going to cause distractions. He's been on the McAfee show twice since the Steelers saga began. He ain't said a single thing that's controversial in those two podcasts. Now, if you want that, okay, he'll go and he'll jump on the Joe Rogan podcast, but you have to go seek that out as a non-sports fan to get his opinions on other stuff. And I'm talking specifically in his time being courted by the Steelers. He's gone on McAfee twice, not said anything controversial. People seem to think, oh, he's not going to show up until training camp. He just wants to milk every last bit out of this offseason. That's not the case. He shows up for minicamp. Well, he's not committed. Oh, isn't he having all the skill position guys out to Malibu? Sounds like a guy who's committed to me. All these things people accuse Rodgers of doing or saying he was going to do, he hasn't done any of it.
Okay, Crowley is building a straw man that's taller than the Empire State Building.
Hmm.
Who has accused Rodgers of all these things?
It's one big scarecrow.
And by the way, has Rodgers not earned the benefit of the... I mean, has he not earned the not benefit of the... What's the opposite of the benefit of the doubt, Limits?
Being criticized.
Yes, he's earned all that. He hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt, is what I meant to say. This is a guy who last year missed mandatory minicamp because of a trip to Egypt. This is a guy who went on the McAfee show. When was it? I don't remember, 3 months ago or so, and said of the Steelers, if you want to move on, by all means, move on. Call me crazy. He didn't sound all that committed. And by the way, 31 of 32 starting quarterbacks showed up to voluntary workouts, if I'm not mistaken.
But he wasn't under contract.
Limits. Right. He wasn't under contract. So the idea would be to get under contract like he did before mandatory minicamp. I don't know of too many people who didn't think he was going to be here by mandatory minicamp. Did you? That was the smart money all along. So we're going to praise this guy and grovel toward him because he did the bare minimum and showed up for work and acted like a decent person. And that's another thing. There's nobody out there who thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to show up drunk in a loincloth and start fighting people at minicamp, did we?
Or passing out ayahuasca at mandatory minicamp.
Yeah, putting ayahuasca in the Gatorade bottles.
Maybe he should have. Maybe it would have relaxed everyone.
Where are all these people who thought that all this was going to happen or that he wasn't going to show up to mandatory
minicamp?
Maybe
we should have pumped the brakes on
it. And by the way, if we didn't think he was going to show up, it's because he didn't show up last year, Crowley.
Well, maybe he's a new man. He has a different mentality this year. He even said on the McAfee show, we heard it yesterday, we can hear it again, that this is his final year in all likelihood. This is it for Rodgers. So maybe he is thinking in a different way, and maybe Crowley is onto something with earning the benefit of the doubt, because I think Rodgers is now singularly focused on this season, where the personal stuff is out of the way now.
He talked about that on McAfee as well. Because the personal stuff is out of the way, everything's out of the way. What leads you to believe that? Because he showed up for work on time and was nice to people?
That's a good start. He showed up.
What would the opposite have been?
Pre-existing relationship with Arthur Smith, I think, matters. And the way that he's been winning all the press conferences.
Good for him.
So it's a good start.
What's his record? 2-0?
What do you want him to do? Go on there and just trash everything?
There you go. There's what Crowley and apparently you think he was going to do when absolutely nobody thought that.
But that's what he's done previously. And he hasn't not done that.
What has he done previously?
He has gone on and has he's thrown teammates under the bus.
Crowley says he hasn't thrown teammates under the bus. He said all his teammates loved him.
Well, not yet. What I'm talking about is comparing last year, what you were doing with the Egypt trip and everything with the Jets, where he was throwing Garrett Wilson under the bus. He was throwing Mike Williams under the bus before he was ultimately traded. Not going to mandatory minicamp to go to Egypt.
Right. So again, call me crazy, but I wondered about some of these things. And when I hear a guy say, hey, if the Steelers want to move on, by all means, move on. I'm attached to nothing and blah, 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 whatever he said.
You can wonder, but since he's been signed, none of that's been true.
Well, what did you expect to be true once he signed? Again, that he was going to show up in a loincloth and start fighting people?
No.
He was going to show up and show up to work and be a decent guy. Nobody ever said he was this horrible person who fought teammates or belittled them all the time. I'm sure most of his teammates do like him. He's a 4-time MVP. He's an unbelievable competitor. But you're feeding into this Crowley straw man that everybody was predicting. And he's done nothing but do what's expected. He signed, he showed up to mandatory minicamp, and he acted like a normal human being. So what are we supposed to do? Well, sorry, Aaron, for everything we wondered about?
People have made him out to be something completely different than a normal human being, with his odd takes on different things and politics and health and all kind of stuff like that. And as Crowley pointed out, you have to go search that out on Rogan. He's not making that publicly available on the McAfee show. And I feel like he so far is setting a different example than what he did with the Jets. So far, I'm liking what I'm seeing from Aaron. And I'm more optimistic now that he is more focused on football this year than he was on football last year.
Because
part of that is because he did show up. Yes,
because
he didn't do it last year.
Right. Okay. All right. Me too. Now I think everything's going to be great because he showed up to work on time and went to a barbecue at Mike Tomlin's house.
You have always questioned.
Everything's going to be great.
You have questioned how committed Aaron Rodgers truly is
to
this.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's already shown more commitment than he did previously.
31 of 32 quarterbacks showed up to the voluntary OTAs.
Yeah, and again, he was not signed.
So the idea would be to sign and show up.
Great,
right?
If he was signed.
31 of 32 did.
We had conversations. Is he going to show up when's he going to be there at training camp? Is he even going to show up on time for training camp?
No, I always said the smart money was Aaron Rodgers will be here by mandatory mini camp and we'll go from there. I mean, this whole idea that there is going to be some huge, issue and blow up at what? Mandatory mini camp? Oh. He's just doing what everybody else does. Good for him. Great.
But isn't that what you're asking him to do? Do everything else that everyone else does? Like showing up like all 31 other quarterbacks?
Yeah. Well, he didn't, first of all, at the start, at voluntary OTAs. And secondly, the season hasn't started yet, Limits. It's football in shorts. Like, was it a huge effort to show up to mandatory minicamp? Is he to be praised for that?
I understand that, but we also...
Are you praising him for it?
We also ragged on him for how long for not showing up to everything else.
You did too, right?
And not signing. Yeah. I did, yes. So, and now he's here. So maybe my perspective has changed based on new information about what he's
talking
about.
Because he's here and breathing? Because he's present?
Oh, no, because the way that he's going about the business now. Inviting teammates to Malibu, going on McAfee and saying all the right things. Sure, it might be a huge PR thing, like similar to Russell Wilson. But right now, I'm fine with what's going on. I'm more optimistic that he's more linearly focused on the season.
I don't know what you expected because it's was going
to go
on.
He even said that it's his last year. So he's trying to go all out this year to prove, just like Brett Favre did his last year with the Vikings, that what happened with the Jets was just a two-year, not a one-off, maybe last year just a one-off because he was hurt the year before, but that he is still the Aaron Rodgers that can get it done. Not at the level he was as an MVP.
How about his last year with the Packers?
Not as the level he was as an MVP, but he can still
What about his last year with
successful.
The Packers? And that's the bottom line here, by the way, is can he play? Can he still play at a high level? I mean, I'm glad he showed up to work. I commend him greatly for that, for showing up to work and being a good guy at work. I just happen to think that's the least a person can do, and that this groveling over him is ridiculous. Limits? How about his last year in Green Bay? Limits is now on the phone, probably
yes,
with Crowley.
With the general, actually.
Ah, the general is on the line.
The general likes to call in early, so we're going to talk to the general later.
He threw 12 interceptions his last year in Green Bay. He's thrown 23 interceptions his last two seasons, and that was more than his previous five combined. Remember we went over that yesterday, Limits?
Of course.
Limits is still talking to the general. All right, so you're on Crowley's side. 412-928-9370. We'll get to the rest of the 12-pack, including an unbelievable, and I'll use that word again, an unbelievable omission by myself and Limits and even Sean Gentile, who got into the act yesterday, texting me about our top five athletes of the Pittsburgh quarter century.
We left someone off.
You won't believe who we left off.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.